May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one that we worship today, the one who cleanses our hearts again today with His rich forgiveness. Amen. Our text is the gospel. We pray as we consider the word of God. Lord, remind us always that we cannot live on mere bread alone. The things of this world do not give us true life. Only your holy word does in Jesus. Give us your all-powerful living word this day. Feed our hungry souls. Strengthen our faith. Draw us close to you, O God. Give us great joy and hope and peace in our salvation. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, fill in the blank today. First Lutheran Church is a house of blank. First Lutheran Church is a house of what? Well, you all got good ideas. All that's very, very true. I'm going to tell you what we are to be a house of today. We learn from the gospel lesson from John 2 that First Lutheran Church is not, I repeat, is not to be a house of trade, meaning a house where money dominates, and we worry about money, and we want more money, and want more money, and talk about money, and talk about it some more, and worry about it some more. It's not to be a house of trade where money dominates. We got to have money. We're running a little business. We got to have money. That has its place, but it's not near what the house is supposed to be known for. Jesus clears the temple. We see His zeal, His righteous anger. He actually takes a whip. This is so important to Him. He takes a whip and chases out everybody, all the money changers, all the animals and everybody there. And then He says, "Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." We can hear Him saying that boldly and loudly, and those words ring in our ears today, 2,000 years later. Don't let my house be a house of trade. We read where this event occurs during the Passover. This occurs, no doubt, the Monday of Holy Week. So Christ has entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and then He'll die on Good Friday, rise the following Sunday on Easter. This is the Monday when He's in Jerusalem. And there, at the Passover time, there are probably 2 million-plus Jews and Gentiles, a few of them, there in Jerusalem. They're packed there because of the Passover. It's the major feast. They're all there. And if you're a Jew, or maybe even a Gentile, one thing you want to do when you're in Jerusalem for the Passover is go to the temple. The temple's the main place to go. Not a restaurant, but the temple, the house of God. Actually, by law, the rabbi said, if you lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem, you had to go there for the Passover. It's a law. You had to go there. So you have lots of people there. They all want to go to the temple. Why? Well, number one, they need to pay their temple tax. Everybody was taxed to support the ministry there. You had to pay that. To give an offering also. You want to give an offering because you're so thankful to God. It's Passover time. But to give an offering or to pay the temple tax, you must do it in Jewish currency. You could not bring Roman currency. That had the picture of Caesar on it. That was idolatry to use that in God's house. You had to bring Jewish currency. And so they had money changers there at the temple to help you. You want to give an offering, pay your tax. We will exchange your money. So you make sure you have Jewish currency for all the people coming out from afar. But the problem is that that wasn't a problem. That's just a practical thing you do. The problem was that they would often charge exorbitant fees to do that. So if you wanted to exchange $50, they would charge you $100 to do it. Double the money. This is greed. This is cheating people. Lying to people. We call that fleecing the flock. And this is what angers Jesus. How can you do this to all these people that have come to worship and you make them pay money? And more money they should pay. The greed of the church. And then also when you went to the temple, you'd want to make a sacrifice. You'd certainly want to sacrifice to your God. They're at the temple. Because if you live far away, you didn't get to do that a whole lot. But you want to do it at Passover time. But, you know, if you're traveling from far away, you don't want to need to bring an animal all that way. You don't want to travel with an animal. You say, we'll just get an animal there in Jerusalem to sacrifice. And the temple provided that too. Business, you see. And they had, as the text says, there lots of sacrificial animals, sheep, oxen, pigeons. You can have your pick there of what you could afford. And we'll sell you an animal. And this animal had passed inspection. To be able to sacrifice an animal, it had to pass inspection. It had to be spotless and pure. And chances are, if you brought your own animal, it wouldn't pass inspection, because they want to make money off of you. That's not good enough. You got to buy one of ours. And again, that's not a terribly bad idea, to provide animals for people. But they charged great, great fees to do that too. Sometimes I read where they would charge five times as much for an animal at Passover time, because they had you under their thumb. We got all the people here. We're going to really charge them. So if you could buy a lamb for $100 one day, Passover time, maybe $500. And this is what angers our Lord. Greed, greed, money, money, business, business. That's all you think about. The first thing that a person would think of when they went to the temple, think about it. That they're so happy to be there. Wow, the great temple, the house of God. We're so happy to be here. And the first thing they see is, we want your money. Fork it over, you're going to get in here. Number one, reputation, money. And there's a lesson here for the church and for our individual lives about greed, about money, obviously. And I pray that when you drive up here, you come to church here, the number one thing in your mind is not money. All they do is want money at first. It's all about money. It's always money, 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 money. All they do is talk about money. They always want money, 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 money. Buy this, buy that. Give more, give more. Now money's not bad. Remember, a minister once told me that the church's dirty five-letter word is money. And I said, that's not true. Money's not a dirty word. It's not a dirty. It's a blessing of God. It's a great blessing of God. And God has blessed us in various ways with money. It's a great blessing. We are to use it wisely and generously for God's kingdom. And there are times we must talk about money in the church. After all, we got $1 million-plus budget. It's okay to talk about these things and use our wisdom of how to do things best. But it cannot dominate. It cannot dominate and be the center of attention when everything's directed about money all the time. We're a place of mercy. Mercy. Not money, money. May First Lutheran not be a house of trade. Well, that's all we think about and worry about and talk about all the time. What are we to be a house of then? Well, let me summarize three other characteristics of the house of God. First of all, may we be known as a house of teaching. A house of teaching. Now that's First Lutheran. That's God's house. A house where we teach and teach and we preach and preach Christ and Him crucified. We teach and teach and preach Jesus Christ, the power of God, as Paul says, the wisdom of God, our righteousness, our redemption, our sanctification. That's what we teach and teach and preach and preach. What are you going to get at church? I'm going to get Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to learn my sins are forgiven, and I'm washed and cleansed, and God loves me and cares for me, and God's going to take me to heaven. That's what we teach and teach all over the place here, church, school, and we preach it and preach it. That's the reputation. Jesus performs this act on the Monday of Holy Week. He clears everything out. By the way, after He clears everything out, all the sheep and oxen and pigeons are gone, all the people are gone, the money is gone. What's left in the temple? He is. He's left in the temple. He's saying, it's about me. I fulfill the temple for you. I'm the one you worship. I'm the one that you're here for. It's all about me. And you know what Jesus does the Tuesday after this Monday? I mean, I'm sure they really want to kill Him after He does this. Let's kill that guy. He just embarrassed us, ashamed us. Let's kill him. The next day, He goes right back to the temple, and He teaches. He teaches the whole day in the temple. He fills the temple with the Word of God. You can read at the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where you have two or three chapters devoted to the teaching of Jesus on that Tuesday of Holy Week. It's called the Day of Teaching, or the Day of Controversy, because a lot of controversial questions are asked of Jesus, where He teaches some more. Lots of parables that are taught. He teaches about the last day. He's saying to the people, it's not to be a house of trade, but a house of teaching the Word of God, that people have faith and are saved. You know, I read where Americans have a new meal. You know what our new meal is? This kind of thing always gets my attention. Well, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The new American meal is snacking. We are snacking more than ever now, sometimes double what we snacked a few years ago. Why is that? Well, because we've been taught to to lower calories in our regular meals. We're not supposed to eat so much at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not so many calories. So we make up for it by snacking. Isn't that America? I don't eat a big breakfast or lunch or dinner, but I snack everywhere in between to fill my stomach. We're going to get what we want to fill our bellies one way or the other is the idea. Is the church so hungry for the Word of God? Is the question. That we want a full course meal when we come to church of Word, Sacrament, and Bible class, and then we snack on the Word of God the rest of the week. Do we really want that? Are we hungry for the Word of God? Do we get our fill of God's Word, or are we starving? Dieting on God's Word, how silly that is. May, secondly, this be called a house of the table. A house that has a great table that dominates the whole house. And I'm not talking about the kitchen table, or the dining room table, or the pool table, or the poker table. God forbid that in God's house. Of course, what table is to dominate the church? The communion table, which dominates the church. The altar, the communion table. It's front and center. We are to be the house with the table where we eat of Jesus' body and blood. Note how this event is described for us. Note how Christ chases away with a whip all the animals, the sheep, the oxen, the pigeons. You know, he does that because those animals are in the way. He also does it because they're not needed anymore. He is saying, you don't need all these sheep, these oxen, these pigeons to sacrifice because I am your sacrifice. The Lamb of God has arrived in the temple. And on that Friday, he'll die for the sins of the world. You don't need all these animals. I'm here. The Lamb is here. And you get that Lamb's flesh and blood as you commune. The Lamb of God, we sing before we take communion. Lamb of God who does what, kids? Takes away the sins of the world, have mercy. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. That's the song right before communion because this is what we're going to have. Lamb. The Lamb is here. And then notice also where it says specifically, the Holy Spirit tells us, he poured out. That's an important little phrase. He poured out something. Christ poured out the coins and the money changers and overturned their tables. Quite significant. He overturns their tables because he wants to set up his own table. He overturns their tables. He has a new table he's going to set up in God's house. It's called the communion table. And there he'll pour out something. He won't pour out money. But at this table he pours out mercy. He pours out his blood for us to drink. Gives us his body to eat. That's, see, the Lord says, don't make my house a house of trade. No, we are not supposed to, by our actions, make it a house of trade. But I suggest God makes this house a house of trade. God does it in his own way. There's a great trade that takes place when you commune today. It's a great trade. God makes this a house of trade, if you will, where we trade in our sins here. You come up with nothing but your sin. And you come on your knees and you kneel as a beggar with nothing in your hand but your sin. Nothing in your heart, your sin, but your mouth is sin. And what's he give you? Salvation. You trade in your sin for salvation as you have Christ. That's trade. You trade in your death for his life. You trade in your hell for his heaven here. It's a house of the table. He sets up his table. He's the Lamb who feeds us himself here. That's all implied by his act here. Don't need this stuff. I'm taking over and this is what's going to happen. Well, did you have something green yesterday? Pat, green beer? People ask me that. Pat, did you have a green beer yesterday, St. Patty's Day? You have green food? And I said, no, I didn't even have a Shamrock Shake McDonald's. Maybe one today. No, I didn't eat anything green, but I'm going to have something red today. Who's going to have something red today? I'm going to taste again and swallow the red blood of Jesus. The righteous, saving, living blood of Christ that conquers sin, death, and hell. And I'll drink of that by his mercy. And eat his risen body. And nothing happens at church. There's no reason to come when you have the Lord of the universe that gives you himself. Last of all, may this be a house for the troubled, for all troubled sinners, struggling sinners, no matter who they are, where they come from, how they dress, how they look, how they smell, what they know or don't know. It's a house for troubled sinners like you and I. It's significant, important to ask, where are they selling the animals and where are they exchanging the money here? This happens in the outer courts of the temple, and there's a lesson here in this too. The temple had basically two parts, an inner part, inner courts, and outer courts. In the inner courts, the Jews could go. They could go to the inner courts. And in the inner court, only the priests could go to the holy place, the most holy place. Only the priesthood could go there. Then right outside of that, the Jews could go. Then there was an outer court where the women could gather and the Gentiles could gather. That was a place largely for the Gentiles, the outer court. And God wanted that for the Gentiles, that all people could come and pray and seek him. And you know where they were selling the animals and exchanging money? In the Gentiles' court. We don't care about Gentiles. Get these Gentiles out of here. We'll take over their court and we'll sell stuff and make money. And this really angers God. He's angry over their greed, but I suggest he's even angrier over their lack of love for Gentiles. Their coldness of heart not to allow Gentiles to come in and pray and seek him. How dare you? He is saying. Zeal for thy house will consume me. Christ's zeal is not simply for the physical building. He does have zeal for that too, how we use the physical building. His greater zeal is for the people that are in the building. It's a spiritual house. And he cares about the Gentiles. He wants them there. And yet the Jewish people don't care. We'll get them out of here and take over. Do we care about people that come? You know, we want the reputation as people that love Jesus Christ and know Jesus Christ, but right behind that 1A, we want the reputation that we are a warm, friendly group of people that accept and love every person who walks in the door, no matter who they are, even if they sit in your pew, even if they're not German, even if they don't know our liturgy, even if they don't dress correctly and they don't know how to act. It's time to love and be patient. And welcome and teach. We don't want to be snobbish. Oh, they don't care. No one even said hi to me there. They're rude. I think I took someone's pew and they got mad at me. This coldness of heart. Look around when you're here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Befriend, welcome, and invite again. This is the place of salvation. We dare not, by our coldness of heart, run somebody off. You know, the NCAA tournament, what's it known for this year? Tournament of the underdog. Lots and lots of upsets. Lots of the underdogs are winning games that no one predicts them to win. We're a place for the underdog. We're all underdogs. We don't deserve to win. And yet, we have won in Christ. We want all the underdogs out there, all the struggling sinners like you and I. We're in the same lot to come. For rest, come for peace, come and learn of the victory you have in Jesus. Come rejoice with us and know Christ like we do. You know, just about every week I try to write down the names of maybe five people or so that I want to try to reach that week that I know might have a problem or haven't been in church or something of that nature that I want to just say, give a word of encouragement, say, hey, I'm thinking of you, praying for you, anything I should know about, come back to church, we miss you. At least, I don't always get to all five because often you don't reach people these days on the phone. But, hey, five people or more to try to contact and invite. I challenge you. Write down the names of five people or so every week. Maybe a church member who doesn't come much, a family member, whoever. A struggling sinner, an underdog. And invite them to God's house. Tell them you pick them up and bring them to God's house. That they know salvation. Be warm, friendly, inviting. Not cold and rude. We're get out of here. We don't know you. We don't like your kind. This is what Christ is really angry about. The lack of love in his house. May we not be known as a house of trade, but a house of teaching. A house of the table and a house for troubled sinners. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith in this God.